regular meeting of the San Diego Union High School District Board of Trustees. I'd like to welcome you and have Joe Schultz read our protocol for us.
Welcome to the meeting of the San Diego Union High School District Board of Trustees. If you wish to speak regarding an item on the agenda, please complete a speaker slip located at the sign-in desk and present it to the secretary to the board prior to the start of the meeting. When the board president invites you to the podium, please state your name before making your presentation. Persons wishing to address the board on any school-related issue not elsewhere on the agenda are invited to do so under the public comments item. If you wish to speak under public comments, please follow the same directions for speaking to agenda items. In the interest of time and order, presentations from the public are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. The total time for agenda and non-agenda items shall not exceed 20 minutes. An individual speaker's allotted time may not be increased by donation of time from others in attendance. In accordance with the Brown Act, unless placed on the published agenda, no action shall be taken by the board on non-agenda items. However, the board may, 1, acknowledge receipt of the information, 2, refer the matter to staff for further study, or 3, refer the matter to a future agenda. In compliance with Government Code Section 54957.5, agenda-related documents that have been distributed to the board less than 72 hours prior to the board meeting have been available for review on the district website or at the district office. All matters listed under consent are those in which the board has previously deliberated or which can be classified as routine items of business. An administrative recommendation on each item is contained in the agenda supplements. There will be no separate discussion of these items prior to the time the Board of Trustees votes on the motion unless members of the board, staff, or public request specific items to be discussed or pulled from the consent items. To address an item on the consent calendar, please follow the procedure described under comments on agenda items. As a courtesy to all meeting attendees, please set cell phones and electronic devices to silent mode and engage in conversations outside the meeting room. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schultz. If I could have everyone rise and join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The board met in closed session earlier, and during closed session, the governing board unanimously took action pursuant to Education Code Section 44938 to issue a notice of unprofessional conduct to a teacher employee certificated ID number 227462. The next item is the approval of the agenda. And are there any items that the board wanted requested pulled on the consent?
You do need to pull item 18, please.
Okay, pull number.
Pull from consideration tonight. Okay. Pull from the agenda.
Number 18.
I will now move approval with that item removed.
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor of approving the agenda with the item number 18 pulled, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Agenda approved. Next, we have the minutes from October 12th and October 19th, which was a special meeting, to approve.
I'll move approval.
Second.
All right. All those in favor of approving those 2 minutes, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carried. Thank you. All right. Next, we have our student update, starting with Scott Geyer.
Okay. I'm from LCC. So basically, all last week, we had Survivor, where we had seniors go through different lunch activities and other challenges throughout the week to basically, like, we weed them all down, and then we'll get our final survivors, which will compete against Torrey Pines. And then this year, since we don't have the game at our school where we do like the halftime show, it's at Torrey Pines this year, we had used one of our pep rally periods, so like all the students could watch the final battle basically between the last four kids. And then it's just really cool because, like, our ASB class gets to work with the Torrey Pines ASB class to produce this halftime show. And, like, I think, like, in between our two schools, like, we're kind of, like, growing that connection there, even though, like, we're still rivals. ASB and administration is continuing to really focus on student wellness this year. For example, last week we had our Red Ribbon Week. We had several activities at break to promote student wellness to live substance and alcohol-free lifestyle. Just yesterday we had a motivational kind of like drug topic speaker come in and basically in the gym to the entire student body, and he like kind of went through his entire life story and how he like started in a similar circumstance, like a similar high school to LCC, and how he overcame, like he went into his problems but also like how he overcame them, and then also showed like the other side, like once he overcame his problems, like how he's like basically progressed into where he is today starting a nonprofit. I believe it really connected to every student because, like, not only was it just about, like, don't do drugs and everything, but it was saying basically how, like, we can effectively create a business even though, like, no matter where we stand once we graduate from high school. And then another way we're promoting student wellness is in a couple weeks we're doing our student and teacher luncheon, which basically every teacher on campus gets to highlight two students and they bring them to, like, the MAV luncheon. And it's like a big lunch, and like they just get honored basically, and like they're selected. But it's just like another way to like kind of highlight a couple students who are being extra special in a way. Finally, we are making sure it's basically every student on campus is getting involved in some part, whether it be clubs, comedy, sports, arts, theater, or any other event we kind of have on campus. And then we're using our new slogan this year, which we have displayed out in front of our school, which is "Be the difference, be the change, be the impact."
Great. Thank you very much. All right. Next, we have Isaac Gelman from Torrey Pines.
Okay. So, for Torrey Pines, I'm just going to go really quickly through this list. On Monday, November 6th, Play On opens, which is a comedy play from our TP Players program. Our fall concert is going to be at CCA, November 13th. Blood Drive is going to be November 6th, and we're going to have a blood mobile on campus. Last year, we had 66 students donate, and we're hoping to be at 100 this year. We're having Coach C Week this week, and this Saturday we're doing a fundraiser, kind of a run, walk-run fundraiser to honor the cheer and ASB programs and that he ran that contributed to Torrey Pines so much.
Yes.
November 9th we're having our Veterans Day ceremony. We're going to have a nice gathering of in the morning of first period classes and have a little show and honoring of our veterans there. We're going to have Torrey Pines Got Talent the week of November 12th. It's a five-day-long marathon of lunchtime shows. Our fall sports pep rally is tomorrow during third period, so we're going to have our whole school there. And obviously for to hype up the big LCC game tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And it's a blackout, so I hope you guys are wearing black. our survivors are Bailey Mondrezev and Jordan Watkins, who did a series of obstacles during lunchtime over the past week. We're having a couple students go to a No Place for Hate conference in La Jolla. Or actually, that was yesterday. And we had a Halloween costume contest on Halloween, and we had our haunted house for 4 days hosted inside the ASB room. We sacrificed a portion of our ASB room to host that. And lastly, tomorrow we're having a groundbreaking ceremony for the building.
Great. Thank you very much. All right, I guess we are missing Cole, so we will jump right over to you.
Jack.
Sorry.
All right. So a lot of individual students at CCA are doing amazing things right now. Senior Melissa Wayne has made the finals for the Junior Breakthrough Challenge competition, which is basically creating a three-minute video explaining a complex scientific topic. Mm-hmm. And she's one of 29 finalists worldwide.
Wow.
And the vote for winners is by popular vote, so that link is on our CCA Foundation
website.
Anyway, other individuals who are doing great things are Rachana Madukara and Anlin Zhang, who have been named as regional finalists in the 2017 Siemens Science, Engineering, and Math competition. There's only 100 finalists in the country total for that, so that's really, really cool to see. And also we have a girl named Maxine Sutton who's on Top Chef Junior, so check out that.
I did see that.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. As for school-wide events, we had In-N-Out and About today, which is where we hide In-N-Out bags around campus, and students who find those bags. You have to come down to the quad and they get free in and out. Last week we had a bunch of different Halloween events like ghost cookie decorating and a bunch of stuff like that to get into the Halloween spirit. Then we also last week had our Red Ribbon Week where we were promoting a drug-free lifestyle and healthy living. We ended the week with a similar speaker to LCC. It was motivational about overcoming adversity through high school and becoming successful in life. Tomorrow we're going to be announcing our first Club of the Month winner. This is an event where we try to celebrate one of our over 250 plus clubs that we have at CCA. That's doing something outstanding, whether it be in CCA or the community as a whole. And we reward them with 10% of the students who are profits for the entire month. They get, and then we also publicize them in our school bulletin and tell everyone that they're the winners. A few weeks ago, we had our Spirit Week, where people dressed up each day for different spirited days, and that ended with our pep rally and homecoming, which the theme was Out of This World. Those were both big successes. As for theater shows, we have Into the Woods opening up on December 8th, and then Mystifique, our other show, is going on right now as well. And then last but not least, a couple weeks ago, we had a day of appreciation for our retiring custodian, Donna Hughes. She's been working here for a long, long time, and a bunch of the faculty and students surprised her, gave her the day off, and pretty much paraded her around campus.
Oh,
nice. Her gifts, and students got to send her off into retirement.
That's nice. So that's really nice. Cool. That's great.
Fred set the bar, kind of.
Well, so did Donna. Donna set it pretty high, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for taking it. Now on to Sarah from Sunset.
Hey, guys, what's up? to start off, I think everyone's having a great week and an amazing evening. Speaking of great weeks, Sunset had an outstanding wellness week that opened the eyes of many students to make the appropriate health and safety decisions, you know, for themselves, just to get ahead. And this week, in the end, was a huge success, and everyone had a blast. And thanks to our lovely counselor, Mrs. Valderis, many guest speakers came to speak at our small little school, and he just shared some mind-blowing lessons, and it was really amazing. I forget his name. I think it was Chris something, but he was just an amazing guy, and I learned a lot from him, and it was just a nice thing to hear. And it was actually so successful that we're going to keep doing more cool activities like this throughout the school year. And Mr. Ayala, our principal, even held yoga, which was really funny because he's like doing like and so that was pretty priceless. And one of my favorite teachers, Mr. Williams, held a gardening activity to brighten up the school. And then my other favorite teacher, Miss Horsley, they all painted a bunch of rocks, and so it's all pretty.
Aww.
And there was on October 24th, there was a field trip to Erickson Hall construction located at San Diego Academy. Each student attended learned about different occupations within the construction industry. It was a real success, in my opinion, because it showed kids a potential future in society, however their grades may be. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that they're going to have a place here. Mm-hmm. They can do it. So,
all right.
On October 26th, Sunset had open house where families were welcome to meet the staff properly, and I'm proud to say that it was a really good turnout, and the teachers and staff were busy with parents the entire evening from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And everyone also enjoyed that delicious potluck I talked about last time. It was a big deal. And my mom really enjoyed it. And on Halloween, it was really great. All the staff dressed up, and the students all had a really great day, and it was just a classic Sunset fun, and it was just nice to see the staff dress up because they're all so tight and close. Like, it's just sweet. And then on October 7th, Sunset is introducing a Boys to Men program. It's a meeting. It's a mentoring program for all male students getting ready for adult life. So it's kind of like the big brother, like, I don't know. It's just stuff like that. And finishing up, Mrs. Valderis, our wonderful school counselor, will be providing assistance with the FAFSA, a.k.a. Free Application for Federal Student Aid for College. She's really great. It's worth it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Great. A couple of instantaneous meetings, and that's they're doing that instead of applauding.
Oh, okay. Actually, Mrs. Hergesheimer, before we move on, I did want to point out, thank you again for all your great reports. You all do an amazing job. I did want to highlight that Mr. Isaac Gelman had a nice, very nice article written about him in the local papers, if you haven't had a chance to read it. I think it's probably in all of the Carmel Valley News,
The five newspapers.
And it was great. It not only highlighted what Isaac does, but what our student board members do. So, again, wanted to thank you.
Thanks for speaking.
All right, now, Mrs. Hergesheimer.
Well, I have been to quite a few events since our last meeting, starting with our Encinitas liaison meeting, and I think some of you I'm just going to do like Isaac and rattle them off. We had our San Diego County School Boards Association roadshow where we had people from our state School Boards Association come down and try to talk about topics of particular interest. And there is a survey, if you saw it, there was one in the last week or two that asked for our board members to let them know if there are topics that we feel are more of interest just specifically to our region. So it's an opportunity if you'd like to.
I already filled it out.
Good, thanks. Yeah. And then I made it to the Encinitas School Farm Lab to validate them for an award that they've been nominated for at the state level. And it was just really good to see. I think they really, a lot of us have seen Min McLove promoting that from day one. Mm-hmm. And it's really hit its critical mass and stride, and they have groups coming to them and just finding ways for nonprofits to work together for the greater good of our community's students. They've got one of the senior, I want to say which one is it? One of the retirement homes that's involved, and Seacoast, thank you. So anyway, that was an honor to be able to try and validate them and see how that goes moving forward. We had a special board meeting the 19th that we all approved the minutes of. I made it to Pacific Trails Middle School for a site visit, and just a quick run through there. Made it to Sunset's Back to School Night, and you mentioned Mr. Williams in the garden, and it's my understanding he got a grant and they're getting to do a little bit extra work.
He's really excited about adding some
paver stones and some more, a little expansion on that, so that's good. Oh, several fruit trees was one of the things he left that. So that's really nice, doing a good job there. Let's see. And then I made it Monday night to the Encinitas City Council special meeting regarding their looking at voting districts for the California Voting Rights Act, and I was interested to go see how their process has been going. They were doing one of their events for the public to come speak regarding the maps that were posted, and I've gone online and kind of played around with that, so I think we're going to have a somewhat similar process, so that was good to see. And I think that brings us to tonight, and here I am. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Ms. Muir.
Been very busy. You know, I've been very involved with the anti-marijuana in Encinitas. And Nancy Perry-Sheridan is here tonight, and she's involved with San Diego Alliance for Drug-Free Youth. And I got to tell you something. Thank you for that. You've been very supportive. That is the vote for growing, cultivating, and selling marijuana in Encinitas will not go to the vote of the public. November 18th, 2018, so that'll be good. Also, State Senator Pat Bates reached out to me, and she's involved with at the state level stopping opiates here in the district, and I got in touch with Judy and Joe Leskin. We'll see if she can, since she can supply all sorts of people and resources, that'd be great if she could hook up with us. And also I want to mention the Young Leaders in Healthcare. Once again, Nancy is in charge of that. Is my nephew is down here. He's going into a heart surgeon here at UCSD. And he was talking about what a great program there is. He wishes that he'd gone through that. Also at the opening of Solana Beach, Joyce and I were there, the ribbon cutting. And I was on the board of the Encinitas County Library. And I got to tell you something, it's gorgeous. It's a great thing. And what else? You know what? I'm involved in so many things that... That's the highlights.
Thank you, Mr. Salazar.
I have nothing to
report. Okay, Mrs. D'Alessandro.
Well, on the evening of October 16th, Mr. Dill and I traveled to Carlsbad to the new Village Arts Theater, and we witnessed a fantastic special ed improv performance. Many of our students were performing. It was absolutely delightful watching really funny skits, improv, so you can well imagine how really hysterical some of them were. It was very, very enjoyable evening. I attended the Solana Beach Library ribbon cutting event, which was particularly meaningful to me. I was on the original committee, district committee, that met with the Solana Beach City Council, the Solana Beach Friends of the Library, the county library people, to get that library, joint use library, on the Earl Warren campus originally. And it was quite a fight. Quite a fight. We had one city councilman holding up a picture of the Taj Mahal and accusing us of wanting to build that with the city money. We had, there was just one thing after another that came out, that, and we overcame each thing. One of the biggest things was that middle school students in a joint use library, no, not with all the adults. And we traveled to a school in another state, and I think it was in Palm Springs, but I can't remember. It's a long time ago, and they had joint use. Yeah, well, you know how old I am, and I've been on the board. It was absolutely delightful to see all of these middle school kids teaching these elderly people how. I mean, you know, back then, learning to use the computer was a really big deal for older people. And it was fascinating, and everybody who went on that trip came back and was so in favor of this library. Anyway, the library was built, and now it has been further enhanced. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. They've expanded and added rooms, and really, really good job on it, and I heard so many thanks expressed for the help from our staff, in particular John Adelman. Mm-hmm. Wow, I heard so many good things about John Adelman. So that was good. October 9th was a special board meeting, and on October 30th, I spent the day at the second Special Education Task Force meeting, led by our brand new mediator, Maureen Burness, and it was very impressive. Her depth of knowledge was amazing. Background information, historical details. She was open, she was encouraging, and it just made for a sense that we really accomplished something, and an excitement, eagerness to move forward in the process. So that was great. Really enjoyed it. That's it. Done.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I am sorry to say I was out of town most of the time between the last meeting and this, and so I don't have anything to report, but I appreciate all the activities.
Oh, sorry.
Well, sorry, but I'm sorry. I wasn't able to attend a lot of the things that you were. I'll make up for it next time. So I will turn this over to Superintendent Dill.
And yes, the special ed improv performance, Mrs. D'Alessandro and I were laughing all the way. We drove from here, and we were laughing all the way back, because we were talking about some of the comments that kids had made and jokes they had come up with. It was
right.
Really fun.
I really did hate missing that. You know, I love improv. So.
Yeah. I do want to say that my favorite quote in the article about Isaac Gelman was, and I pulled it up, "I'm not concerned with what Mr. Dill is recommending." So that put an end to the belief that we prep our student board members with what to say.
It's pretty funny myself.
But for the last few weeks, I have been attending many meetings related to the California Voting Rights Act. Have visited several of our school site councils, which, as the board knows, are a group of our staff, our teachers, and also parents in the community, and just informing them more, answering their questions of why the board is moving in this direction, and then also getting their input on seeking the waiver to avoid the voting requirement to put it on the ballot to make it approved. And you know, so far, all very good questions from the community, and I would say that all of their questions about future mapping, which of course, you know, I couldn't discuss at that time, pretty much align with what we heard at the special meeting, the board's comments. And so without me telling you what they've been saying, everybody seems to be in alignment with what they would like to see in potential trustee voting areas. So that's been good. We also had the LCC WASC visitation. And that went very well, so we're waiting for the final report on that. But in meeting with the group, they were highly complimentary of the LCC staff. I was there on the first day for their kickoff meeting, and they were very impressed. And then as they got into the classrooms and then met with the three folks you see over there, in addition to Cindy Frazee and myself and a few other folks from the district office, they were very impressed at the look at continual improvement that the school takes and how they use achievement data and how they're continually moving the ball forward, and that they were impressed to see that what was on paper was occurring in the classroom. And so as those of you who are aware, and I know Scott was part of those meetings as well, because I saw him on day one meeting with the group. But as you know, those reports, those self-studies, are very deep. And so they come out and they validate that. And I don't think we're going to have any problems with what we see in that ultimate WASC report. So since I attended many of the other things you mentioned, I think I'll leave it at that.
Great. Thank you very much. Well, next we have our LCAP priority updates, and we will start with Principal Kara Dolnick from Carmel Valley Middle School.
She's asked me to move the lecture.
Oh, well. Thank you for your assistance.
She's not like that. It's great.
Do you need help?
You know what?
Who knows? It's not starting too. Well,
some help by
yeah, all right. Yeah.
We knew they split in two.
I thought it was one piece.
Okay.
Yeah. Glad to be of assistance.
Help, Brad. Next, ask you for help. Yeah. In the
next
future.
Time, ask somebody who works here.
It's in a better place.
Jen came just to show me how to work the computer that's in the room. So, good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to be here. I like that this year we're talking to you about, instead of just what's going on in our school, we're kind of talking about what's going on in the whole district and in different ways. And then I hope everyone else has done this. In the end, I'm going to, you know, plug some of the great things that we're doing at Carmel about. Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
So Next Generation Science Standards, I know you guys know a little bit about it. You've been given, actually done some experiments, I understand. So you got to, is it the beaks of the birds, I believe, in a closed session. It was a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
They let the principals play with fire.
Oh,
okay. They didn't let you guys do that, but that could be a different thing altogether. So, a little bit about what I mean. I'm going to do the basics of NGSS, and then, of course, most importantly, where are we as a district in the transition, what's really happening, and what's next. I sort of self-chose. I volunteer for things sometimes. I'm not sure why, but I self-chose to be one of the administrators that goes to a lot of the professional developments for different science things, because I like science, I think. Mm-hmm. And so last year I went to one and then presented to the principals, and then when I knew that this was one of the things that we could present, wanted to talk to you guys, because I keep going. Every time I go to one of the science meetings with the teachers, Jen is doing amazingly fun stuff, and I learn something every time. So basically the basics of NGSS. So what they are is they were adopted in 2013, and they're the new state science standards, very different than the old standards. They're based on two decades of research as to how students actually learn science best, where before the standards were based on content. So it's content we believe they need to know. And then there were some practices that you kind of pull over here, and that, you know, scientific method, things like that. And then you did mostly the content with some of this. Now the idea is that in order to learn science, you need to do science. And so the standards are really rewritten with that idea in mind. They were developed by the teachers, scientists, science education experts from 26 different states. So this isn't just a California thing. This is more than half the United States is looking at this. Differences, they again identify core ideas, the scientific practices for student success. And again, it looked at what they're going to do all the way to when they're scientists and what they do as engineers and what they do in science fields, all the way back down to what do they need to start knowing when they're in kindergarten? How do they need to start exploring science? And they are taught in every grade, K through 12, which is another bit of the difference. There's a lot more focus. A lot of the change actually is the focus in elementary school with the science standards and what they need to know there. So when our kids come to middle school and they go to high school, they're actually going to know more about the doing of science and real scientific core ideas instead of kind of they do a little bit here and there, but it's really embedded now in what they do. And really for all students to experience all the aspects of science instead of just life science here and physical science there, it's actually they're going to experience all of it. The other difference with the, it's going to work, I promise. Technology is part of it, too. The other difference is it's a three-dimensional standard. So, again, as opposed to the content standards over here, the practices over here, the three-dimensional approach, the scientific and engineering practices, which are essentially how scientists do what they do. So scientists really are curious. They're driven by the curiosity. They want to kind of find more and more and more about things, so they ask a lot of questions and they kind of delve into it. Engineers are defining problems and looking to solve problems and build things to solve problems. You know, it's a simplified look, but in general, that's kind of the idea. The disciplinary core ideas are just that. They're the disciplines of science, all the different disciplines that we find. And the cross-cutting concepts, kind of the lenses through which you might view science, the scientific problems, patterns, causes and effects, scale, proportion, those types of things with the cross-cutting concepts. And when teachers now build their lessons, they look at all three of these. So it's not just I'm going to learn some content and then I'm going to go do a lab. It's I'm going to do this lab and learn some content and also look at it through a different lens and maybe solve a problem in the process. That's a big difference. And it enables students to see the science as it actually relates to the real world. So a lot of the problems that are posed are things that are related to the real world. And a quick example of this is I was in a science class last week, and they were simple activity was they were they had to build a paper tower with one piece of paper and 30 centimeters of tape, and the goal was to get it to be as tall as possible. So, of course, it was middle school class competition. Very exciting. I sat in the middle of class, and I had to go back. I didn't get to watch them finish. So I had to go back to see who won. But the idea there is they're getting some basic principles of engineering, exploring, kind of engaged in what's going on. And then from that, they're going to talk about cell towers and some of the engineering processes and things they have to think about when they actually build cell towers and how far it reaches and things like that. So it really is to look at real-world problems and apply those in a way so that kids can learn from them. What the standards also do, again, is the students are doing more of the science to learn the science. They're much more inquiry-based investigations. They are, again, engineering those real-life solutions, discussing solutions. So they discuss solutions in order to get to the science concepts. An example of kind of more of what they're doing, one, and this was a couple years ago that I saw this one, but one of the first kind of, we're going to try these NGSS lessons and what do they look like. And it's one of my favorite ones of really an example of how it's different. And it was a water filtration lab. And what happened first is students came in and basically the teacher said, so we're going to try and solve a problem today, and it's we have this green water and we want to make it as clear as possible. Here's some materials to do that. And I don't know what all they had. I think it was like charcoal and I don't really know, but cotton balls and the tube and all these kinds of things. And really the first time the kids did it. They just kind of took the stuff. They didn't really have a lot of background information, and they just did it. But in doing that, they're discussing it with one another. They're asking questions. They're coming up with questions of their own. So after they spend part of class, I think they had like 45 minutes to do that. They then go back, and the teacher starts to talk to them about what happened. And as they ask questions and as they talk about how they learned things, then build in those core ideas, the concepts, the terminology, look at how does this apply to real life, and kind of have that discussion. And that discussion took the rest of that class and part of the next class. Then they went back with the knowledge they had and redid the water filtration. So now you've got to get the green water to be clear. And all the groups did much better. They talked about what they learned. They applied that. And then they had different grades. They were graded on rubric. And then what was fun is as the kids were finishing, she told them they had to do it, I think, they can only do it for the first experiment twice. And then she told them, now once you guys are done and you've given me that little test tube, you can keep going. See if you can get it as clear as possible. So then there's an enrichment opportunity for students who want to go further. And there was one group that literally got their test tube of clear water. It went from dark green to clear. And they did that with, they didn't watch the teacher do this. They didn't do it following lab instructions that were right in front of them. They actually got to experience that themselves. So I like that one really as an example of how far you can really take the science and apply it with what they're doing. So the transition in San Dieguito, it's the idea is all standards for all students. That's something we have 80% of our high school students take three or more classes of science. So we want to get that ratio higher. We actually want all of our students to experience all the sciences. Learning from the Common Core standard transition, and that's, I think, not just San Dieguito, but even the state. The Common Core standard transition, we talked about it for a long time, and then all of a sudden we had to do it, and it was like 2 years, I think, we had to really get it done. The science transition takes longer for a lot of reasons, and again, everyone's really learned from that, so we've been working on this for 3, 4, 5 years now, not just talking about since 2013, mm-hmm. so four years now, talking about it, applying some things, thinking about it, discussing it. Districts are at all different places with it. I can tell you San Dieguito is one of the leaders, as we typically are, as far as what we're doing and how we've done it. And I know this because I am personally connected to a teacher in another district who gets sometimes frustrated. My husband's a science teacher in another district. And he was kind of early on was really involved with it, and then his district sort of backed off and said, oh, let's just wait and see. Well, they're going to find that in the next 2 years, all of a sudden, they're going to be scrambling to get things done. And so as I'm kind of hearing the good and the bad and seeing what we're doing, our teachers are ready for it. Our teachers are doing things in their classroom to apply it and are excited about it. And I can absolutely tell you that that is different than some districts. Even when we go to different professional developments and I sit down at a table and I'm like, hey, look, we have a see, it was going to be so cool when I said, we have a timeline, and we've already talked about here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. The seventh grade this year is really doing some of the implementation of their scope and sequence. They're piloting things. Eighth grade is moving some things around. All of the different levels actually move some things around. Next year, seventh grade, they're all in. Next year is their formal implementation, then eighth grade. And then notice it says to be determined. What are we doing in the high school? The awesome thing about this is that our high school teachers are involved in that mm-hmm. discussion as to what's going on. It's not by someone saying, here's the scope and sequence and do this. And I can tell you that also makes a really big difference because the teachers who sometimes maybe don't like change, and that's okay, they've been doing this for 30 years and it works really well, have been able to be part of the discussion. Their voices are being heard, and that's used kind of as a back and forth so that they're part of it. At the middle school level, I can tell you the teachers are ready. They're all in. They're doing a lot of piloting. They're doing a lot of really cool things, which I think is my next slide. Oh, no, sorry. I'll get to this, then I'll go to the next slide. And this is just kind of how it's different. With the middle school, we're going integrated, so all the disciplines across. It used to be sixth grade was our space. Biology was seventh grade. Eighth grade was chemistry and physics. Now those are all intertwined based on different problems. So it's a big, the unit is each a problem or somehow related, and then that goes down into the unit and how you learn it. And then in the high school, and there was a lot of different options from the state. Our district chose to do what actually the state eventually recommended. They waited for everybody to kind of choose and said, well, what we think you should do is. and this is the three-year model with biology, chemistry, and physics with Earth space actually intertwined. What our high school teachers are doing is they're starting to pull in those earth space concepts into their classes. So that's kind of where they're in the transition is. They're just starting to pull in those units and ideas. What's great is the earth space teachers are the ones who are kind of leading that and saying, here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to do. Here's some lessons that I've done. I was actually at Torrey Pines. It's towards the end of last year, but at Torrey Pines, as one of the earth space teachers came in and said, here's the lesson on this, and she had it out for the whole science department to see with biology. So the biology teachers were pulling this in. Here's what I think you should do. Here's how it fits. And so they're collaborating on that and talking about it. professional development is extremely important, and we're doing a fantastic job of it. Not only are we doing it within our district, but we also have teachers that are going to things, you know, in the county or wherever necessary. San Diego County, it takes science very seriously, thankfully, so there's a lot of really great opportunities, even just in this county, but elsewhere there's opportunities as well. Subject level collaboration, I've seen more of that with science teachers. They've always collaborated. They always talk about science, but sometimes they're like, this works for me in my classroom. This is what I'm going to do. I've seen more collaboration and discussion about what they're doing in their classes. A lot of the teachers are doing piloting with the curriculum lessons. That's been one of the most important things for our 7th grade teachers. All of our 7th grade teachers are piloting a certain curriculum right now, and they've never really been quite on the same page, which has worked out. It's not a problem. But now that they're doing the pilot, they're having to talk about, how do I apply these NGSS standards? How would I do this lesson? Would I change it a little bit? And they're really collaborating on that. So it's really built a lot of collaboration, I think, across all subjects, but we're seeing it in real time right now in middle school. The 5E lesson model, and again, as I kind of talked about that water filtration lab, engage, explore, explain, elaborate, evaluate. Lots of evaluation, lots of elaboration, writing, explanations, explaining what's going on. Again, not just a lab procedure, answering the questions on what happened, and then, you know, here's my hypothesis, here's my final conclusion. There's a lot of that analysis, really critical thinking, high-level thinking. Another great thing we're doing is the articulation with elementary schools, which we got to host at Carmel Valley, which was great. So that's one of the pictures there. We have one of our teachers that's in with the elementary school teachers. And they were thankful. They came to our campus twice, extremely thankful, and said, I know so much more than I knew before I got here. All of them would see me. They were having a little picnic out in our quad area. And they just said, thank you so much for doing this. And I really... Jen did it. But it was awesome to have, of course, we found a space for them is what we did, and it was awesome to have them on campus. The middle school curriculum is really 6th, 7th, and 8th. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The problem is we have, you know, what, 5 feeder districts, so it was important to get them in the same room to talk to them, and they could talk to each other. Our feeder districts do some amazing things, and they do it under the STEM initiative, so you hear a lot about that at the elementary schools. That's how they built it in. They have STEM coordinators. They have NGSS coordinators, things like that. But now they're doing in 6th grade real science lessons. It's not just, oh, we do this on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. It's now really part of what they have to do. And I was visiting one of the elementary schools and asked a couple kids, what's your favorite class? Science. 100%. Now, it could be because we were touring some things and we were talking about science, and maybe they chose those kids on purpose, but you know, they were talking about science. So it was fun. They were having a lot of fun with what they were doing. Talking about potential and kinetic energy in 4th grade. I'm just saying.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. So it's really cool. And then, of course, what are our students doing? They're studying energy transfer, and in that one, they're building Rube Goldberg machines. They had to have 5 energy transfers. One of the teachers had where a ball had to go into a cup. One of them, the dominoes had to fall. Mm-hmm. And it was fun watching them because the one on the top, the girl said that, well, we kind of had it and it was good, but we thought, why stop at 5? Let's do 7. Well, then we went to 7. Maybe it was a little too much, but watch, it almost works. And the ball kind of rolls down. And at the very end, she just kind of kicks one little cup, so then it goes in. And she's like, see, we got it to work. I was like, you know, what happens now? The engineering roving vehicles, this eventually led to a balloon-powered vehicle, which they're doing this week. I didn't get the pictures of that in there. But that was the beginning stages. They were studying things like the Mars rover in order to understand how to get vehicles to move across rough surfaces. Discovering elements. So it's not just here's the periodic, and this is actually 7th grade chemistry, is now going into 7th grade. Here's a periodic table, here's some pictures of elements. They actually had stations all around the room where they're actually answering questions about the elements. They get to play with gold and aluminum and sulfur. Hopefully they didn't play too much with that. But they're answering questions and learning about the elements. So the kids are engaged. We see kids that sometimes take a back seat, are really engaged. And sometimes it doesn't matter really what their grades are, because when they're in that classroom, they are talking about science, they're doing science. So what really excites me is that students who sometimes don't always get excited about school, don't always really feel like a part, because whenever you're calling on the whole class and everyone else is raising their hand, and you know, you're just happy to, you know, kind of have be at school. Some of them aren't even happy to be at school, but they're just kind of in the class. They actually are, when I was watching them even just do the paper tower one, they were engaged, and some of the kids were like, you know, you need to do this, and, you know, the Science Olympiad kid is arguing with the other kid, like, no, that's how we do it. And the guy's like, watch this, and he does it, and it works, and they got the tallest tower. So it's really fun to just watch them talk about science and really enjoy it. Our teachers, I asked our teachers what they wanted you to know, so I thought that was the best way to talk about it. The new design of NGSS is, and the addition of engineering practices, modeling, simulation, all the things they have to do, does take significant resources and time to prepare for, which is the other reason why it's taking longer. If you try to do this in just a couple of years, it would be pretty difficult. But stretching it out over time is really important and really helpful for the teachers, so they can try things. They can experiment themselves and learn themselves what's working. The Exploring the Pilots has been, the seventh grade teachers are doing quite a bit of it. The other grades are doing a lot of pulling in different units, so they're kind of exploring the units and the different lessons. But they said that's very helpful. Students are really transitioning to deep and authentic learning, not what to think, but how to think. It takes time, creativity, and collaboration. And that collaboration piece, they kept saying, it's really, really important that we get in the room and we talk about it. The professional development, so Jen and Cindy are just, along with lots of other teacher leaders, are amazing, dedicated. We have an absolute rock star with Jen. Mm-hmm. She's now known, I think, probably, I know, throughout the county, throughout the state, as a resource for how you do it the right way in this NGSS transition. Anytime I go to other districts or go to meetings and see other science people and I say, oh, yeah, Jen McLuhan, they're like, oh, yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. Can I get her number? You know?
No.
not. But most importantly, and I actually asked two different groups separately, and both had some teachers that said this, that NGSS makes science more accessible for all kids. That was really, that's their biggest takeaway for it. That's what they seem to be most excited about. So, that's all that I have.
Wonderful.
Very nice.
Any questions or comments for?
So they had this gold plated. This is one of the things the teacher said. We're going to probably have to rethink this. So they actually had, it was like a cardboard or something that was gold plated, and they had to look at the sheen of it and this and that. Well, of course, after a couple periods, like, the kids are all ripping. And they're like, look, I got gold on, because it's seventh grade. I mean, that's what they do. So, yeah, they discovered gold along with, yeah, like I said, the sulfur. I think maybe a couple kids had sulfur now. They had a lot of fun with it, so.
Fool's gold.
Yeah. I went to that Science Olympiad you had last year.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, amazing. You know what? I'm glad you recognize the parents. They're the best. Uh-huh. I mean, they were also supportive. I saw the grandparents there too.
Yes.
And then you're right, the deep thought, they're all thinking about, mm-hmm. you know, and when I was up in Encinitas, I mean, we used to hear about what you guys were doing down there. We were very envious. We're like, how's that mm-hmm. going? The parent support is
yes.
amazing too.
Oh, yeah, it
really
is.
Makes that happen too.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It's funny, that in the Science Olympiad, I actually met with a couple of the parents who are in charge of it today, and they were at my coffee with the principal. I practiced this presentation. They said it was good. And they said, this is really exciting because we have a lot of parents, who are actual scientists and engineers. And they said, this is what we do. Yeah. How you guys are now teaching science, this is what we do. And my kids come home talking about how much fun they had. Right. And I can actually say, oh, yeah, I do that in my job. Or, you know, let me show you. I can show you my lab and you can see what it is. And so that's really an exciting piece, is that scientists and engineers were excited about what's happening.
I talked to all the parents there. And there.
Yeah.
I like when you guys all had the matching shirts on, even the
course.
That was great.
I saw the design today for this year. I'm very excited about it. I get one.
Thanks.
Thank you. I had a quick question about the curriculum and materials, and it looks like we're piloting some of those.
Yes.
So are we moving forward or having an idea of what we're going to need for resources?
Still a lot of discussion about that. We have, I know at my site I have teachers piloting at least two, one, seventh grade's doing at least one. They did one last year. They're doing one right now. They're kind of doing one. And I know when they were talking in the groups the other day that they're finding what they like and dislike about the different ones.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is we actually are a little bit ahead of the game, which is great, but mm-hmm. there's kind of new stuff kind of going on. And so it's good discussion. It's still kind of up in the air.
Okay.
I don't even, yeah.
Great. All right. Well, thanks. We'll keep you updated. But this is wonderful to hear about it because I know we've been getting bits and pieces, but seeing it all together, it's great. Thank
when's
you.
When's the next Science Olympiad? That was great.
So we'll have we will have an elementary. We actually do where the elementary schools come to site, and that is in December sometime. I don't remember the actual date, but I can email you guys. I'll email all of you an invitation.
Okay. Thanks. Great.
Absolutely. It's an amazing day. And so at that one, it's actually the elementary students, mostly like with little brothers and sisters. It's fun. Right. And our students are in judging and helping and kind of watching what they're doing.
Well, that's good.
It's really cool. And then there's a, the Science Regional is in early February.
Okay.
And that's amazing. Last year was at Carlsbad High School. I don't know where it's going to be this year, but that is a way to spend a day. It's pretty amazing with all the kids running around just in love with science. That's fantastic.
Can we get, like, a film, Eric? Because we were always talking about, like, I've told you before, I don't care for our website, but this is something we could put on the website, like a little clip of the science. I mean, showcasing it on the website.
If you guys do something, we can also put it on our social media, and that's a good way to put it. Yeah. More people look at that than our website.
Because it's, you know.
I know. It goes for our website, but the Facebook is very popular with parents, too, so.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mrs. Dolan.
Are you ready for your technological?
All right.
Could you move the podium for me? All
right. Mr. Colleen is going to talk about values, connectivity, and wellness.
Thank you. Oh, we could have left that on over there.
No, I like yours. Give me a hold up.
Board President Herman, members of the Board of Trustees, Superintendent Dill, Executive Team, student representatives, Ms. Schultz, community, it's good to see you guys. My name is Brett Killeen, and I'm very proud and humble to be principal at Candy Crest Academy. I love my school, I love our district, and my kids have gone to many of the schools in our district, and it just means a heck of a lot to me to be here and part of our fantastic district. I'm here tonight to talk about two areas of focus, which are actually reflected in the high priority areas of the LCAP, the Local Accountability Plan. And we heard actually from our students in one area in particular, which had to do with wellness. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to talk to you about is vision, culture, and values, and wellness, because with some of our sites, they are integrated quite well. So one question is how do we use vision, mission, and values to focus our work? And second, how do we ensure students are healthy, that they're connected, and they're happy, in addition to being successful academically? So with respect to vision, mission, and values, each high school in our district has engaged in meaningful work in this area, involving collective input on visionary language to drive our work at each of our sites. The accreditation process, which LCC just went through, is one way that we reflect on our work. And we also, it's also in our single plan as a driver for what we're supposed to be doing for our kids. And sometimes as schools, we make slight tweaks to those, and sometimes we make significant changes. And we have all of that happening in our district right now. As you know, in the south end of the district, and I've experienced this over a number of years, we've got rapid development going on. I look across the street every day and something else is being built. We have changing demographics, and these have had profound impacts on Torrey Pines High School and my high school, Candy Crest Academy. So I got in touch with Torrey Pines, kind of asked how they're working on their vision work, and they've been collaborating recently around core principles, which are driving their work in the areas of high standards. Diversified coursework, so offering more options for kids with flexible scheduling, creating resilient students, and pride in TP history. They've been around for over 40 years, and there's some pretty amazing things happening. They have always happened there. In the north end of the district, as you know, things are a little more stable with respect to population. Both high schools are about the same size now, right around 1900, right? But there was, over the course of 5 or so years, lots of movement back and forth between those two schools, also necessitating conversations around who are we and where are we going and how are we going to get there. Talking to Mr. Marcus over at LCC and being the dad of a freshman there right now, I'm aware of some of these things. They've been working on a plan over 3 years. In year one, celebrating academics, the arts, and athletics. Year two, focusing on LCC culture, connections, and community. and student, and this year student and community wellness. And we heard a little bit about wellness from all of our student representatives today. And as was noted by our student representative from LCC, they've embraced a slogan: "Be the difference, be the change, be a maverick." And of course, I've gotten used to saying to my daughter, "Go Mavs." Easier now that I'm a Raven, but but it's all good. SDA strength, and I had a couple of my kids go there, has always been culture, and it's been really integrated there. They have systems and programs in place that integrate vision and culture with wellness and connectivity. And for example, they have a strong Link Crew program that focuses on onboarding new students to vision and culture and structures such as homeroom. And they have a student forum, which is pretty unique, which is really student-driven, and staff can go and listen and learn to ensure that students are healthy, making good choices, and feeling connected. At CCA, our work is really critical right now because the school that was opened in 2004 is very different now. There are some things that have lasted. You know, we like to say in tours we're an inclusive environment. And we are. We take a large school now and make it feel small for all students. But to make that happen, to actualize that, you really have to work at it and make sure you have programs and practices in place to achieve that. We're the largest school in the district now. It's hard to believe, with just under 2,600 students now. If you look at our staff of over 100, most of them are pretty new in the last few years. So, again, we have to kind of look at our history, look at what's special about our school, and then really work hard to talk about where we're going next. You know, if we did nothing, we would become another large, successful high school, but we need things which bind us together and drive us forward and help us always improve. And I love the tours that we give each of our schools, and Jack's been a big part of this at my school, where we have amazing choices in our district, and our families do need to know, well, what's a little unique about your school? What's really special about your school that you can talk about to help? Because we have these amazing choices. And if we all do a good job, it'll all work itself out, and everybody will get to go to their first choice. So that's you know, critically important. So we need to speak with confidence, a collective confidence, about where we're going. And that's vision. It's not complicated. It doesn't have to be a really long document. You know, we need to be able to articulate where, for example, our CCA students are going to be going in 3 to 5 years. And then how are we going to get there? That's the work we do to help actualize that vision, to make it happen. So that's a little bit more of the nuts and bolts. And then how are we going to treat each other in the course of getting there? That has to do with our values, too, our core values. And that's just critically important for all of us. And again, these statements should be powerful, they should be concise, and they should be motivating. And we should all remember them. One of the challenges I think we have right now, if you look at a lot of vision, mission, value statements, they're a page or two long. And that's not going to cut it when you're in a cul-de-sac in your neighborhood talking about what your school's all about. So we all need to be speaking kind of the same language in that way. The other great thing about having these guiding documents is they can be leveraged. While we have policies, I've never been a tremendous fan of, well, it's this decision because of a policy. Much more powerful if we can say that we justify our decision based upon our values and our mission and our vision. That makes sense to people when we can stand by that. So, at my school, because we're having to do more than a tweak, we're having to really come together and work on this, kind of starting from scratch, though some things will certainly carry over. I've had to do a lot of listening as principal, and I've loved it. And so it began in August with our staff, and it was classified and certificate. We mixed everybody up, and we gave them some prompts. Talk to us about where our students ought to be, what skills ought they have upon graduation. You know, make this a little uncomfortable. Look out there a little bit. And then how are we going to get there? And then what are our values? So our staff went through that activity. and I kind of plastered my office with all of these posters, and it got a little dizzying. We did the same thing at the coffee with the principal. What I found at the coffee with the principal is it wasn't just my parents. These were parents of 7th and 8th graders, sometimes some 4th graders would sprinkle in there, who, it was like high school selection already began. And so, fine, it's our community, be a part of this conversation. So I got great feedback from them. We did it with our foundation board, which is really awesome. Leading parents in our school who are very well connected, some of whom have had kids who have gone through before, some completely new. But these are all really, this is our population. We created a new student leadership board. Obviously it's important to talk to PALS. It's important to talk to ASB. It's important to talk to our student leaders. But we also need to remember that we need a cross-section of students to have input on things like where we're going. And so we created a Raven Advisory Board. And we've only had 2 meetings thus far. Jack's on it. But it's really good. The very first thing we asked them was, you know, what did you think of our October 11th day when we did about 3 or 4 different things on the campus? They gave us some tremendous insights into what worked and what we ought to tweak moving forward. So really, kind of like what's happening at SDA with their forum, we want something, cross-section of students to continue where we get to listen. But we did put them to work in terms of this activity, in terms of about where are we going, how are we going to get there, and how are we going to treat each other. So my next work is more students and then getting together a synthesis group to take all of this information, see what rises to the top, with a goal that by the turn of the year, 2018, right around high school selection time, we've got a brand new adopted vision, mission, and values. I'm really excited about that. I did bring this. It's not a PowerPoint. I spent hours today. Could you care? This is one of like 100 posters. And these are just, I just encourage each group, you know what, give me some powerful words that have to do with these vision type documents. So we're a little artsy sometimes. So this is just... one example of, and it's old school, but this requires conversations. Mm-hmm. People need to talk to each other. They need to bounce ideas off each other. They need within their own groups to kind of synthesize what's important, because a lot of these words, they're synonymous with other things, and we need to find powerful words to move us forward. With respect to wellness, which we did hear a lot about, I think you see in our district at all of our schools, strong programming around wellness, and it's neat to hear from our students. As a parent, I don't get worried about my daughter when she's studying on Saturday night in terms of academics. That's a good trait. She studies. I want to make sure she's okay. I want to make sure she's going to the football game on Friday night, and being connected. And so looking at this through the lens as a parent and as an educator, and then hearing our students talk about wellness, it's critically important, especially in a high-achieving district like ours. Right. As you know, in our district, we have, with access, and it's a good thing, more students choosing rigor than ever before. Phenomenally, the results are going up, too. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you a statistic for my school. So last year, with the AP tests, so these are generally grades 10, 11, 12, almost 2,900 AP tests were taken. Almost 3,000 exams, 94% pass rate. Wow. And we celebrate that, and we should, and it's amazing, and it's a testament to the hard work of our students and our staff and the support of our parents. Not all of those students who took those tests are well. And so we need to make sure, and we're kind of preaching, being very explicit about this, our entire leadership team, you know what? Choosing rigor is awesome. Make sure that when you take an AP class, you're interested in it, you're passionate about it, as opposed to taking a load because you feel like everyone else is doing it and it's necessary in this competitive climate of college. And so we want to celebrate, but we also want to make sure we have balance with our students. So you've heard some examples of wellness and connectivity this evening. happening already this fall, with LCC and SDA both having link crew, Torrey Pines and CCA having a strong PALS program in ASB. And you hear about connectivity like challenge days every 15 minutes, community days we have coming up at CCA, homeroom activity at SDA. The activities you heard about at Sunset this evening sound really cool. And we want our students to know that we care about them, and we want them to know that they're making connections with peers who can look out for them as well, because sometimes they may be reluctant to talk to an adult initially. So we're just trying to create that climate district-wide. And as you know, all of our schools and staff have been educated on protocols when students are really struggling. We talked about suicide prevention. Recently, in addition to programming that we've had and training that we've had, we've made some enhancements to our website so that you can find things better. And also, cards were distributed to all teachers on the campus and in counseling in the front office. Anybody ever needs help, we have that available. So we have a wellness committee at our school. In addition to some of the other things that we're all doing, one of the things that we did last year and we're doing in a little more programmatic way, that systemic way this year, is taking the Healthy Mind Platter, which has 8 concepts, and we're spreading them out throughout the year. And then each department on our campus is owning a piece of that programming. We found that if you just have PALS do something, or if you just have ASB, or you just have counseling, that's a lot on the shoulders of one group to try to make happen. So we felt we'd get better buy-in if we have everybody volunteer to step up to the plate. So some of these concepts are time in, connecting time, focus time, physical time, play time, downtime, and sleep time. Very important. And so again, everybody signed up for these. We've already had a few months of programming. September was all about compassion, and social studies led the way on that. And then our Envision program is leading the way recently on empathy, mindful connection, and social media, responsible use of that. So, you know, something we wanted to try this year is to make sure that we do things all year long as an entire campus. So in addition to the Wellness Committee programming all year, all of our schools, including CCA, offer programming guest speakers. We heard about those tonight through PALS, ASB, counselors, and clubs. No Place for Hate was mentioned, and some of our schools went to that training yesterday. Very powerful. The students and staff who went to it are already coming up with ideas on how to do that program again at our schools. No Place for Hate is pretty pervasive throughout our district. I even see stickers in the restroom, which is good. So that message is out there. I want to thank the board for giving me the opportunity to talk to you tonight about these areas of focus for all of our high schools. We're very passionate about it. We love our students. We want the very best for them. And like parents, we've known we've done a pretty good job if we run into them 5-10 years down the road, and they're contributing to our world, and they're happy. That's one of our big goals as educators, and especially here in San Diego. So thank you very much, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Bloom?
No. The school's on fire with down
yeah
there.
Thank you.
I went down there with Kristen.
Yeah.
We saw Joanne, and I like the way you did the, your counselors were talking about where to get jobs and internships there, and you guys were already on the launch pad. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they reached out to me. I'm glad you guys had already implemented that.
Good.
So, yeah. Thanks.
I want to thank both of our principals for their presentations this evening. As the board knows, the goal of the change this year was to give you and the members of our audience a deeper understanding of what our priorities are and how that works out in each one of our schools. And I think both of you did a really nice job of talking
yes
about district-wide, you know, and also tying it back to your schools. So thank you very much for both of your presentations.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much.
You know, on our hotline, we talked about being on the website. Can we put it somewhere else? Like maybe we have restrooms or somewhere that where the kids can see that? Because I think we don't do a good enough job of
kids finding out where they need to be.
Yeah, I'll talk with Mr. Miller, through our counselors and our, multiple tiers of support for students, what we can do to promote that information.
I mean, when we talk about something where they see all the time, that would be the best place there. I think the restrooms that everyone uses that. Because I did look on the website and I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, so we, as Mr. Killeen spoke about, they made an update to their website
this week
in order to make it easier to find it. So we can talk with our other principals to see where that information is, as well as the district website.
If they don't go on the website, there's going to be some place they can see on campus.
Yeah, and I know our counseling offices, as Mr. Killeen talked about, there are resources within the counseling offices for that. So there are many ways that kids can reach out and get that support, and often it's for their friends. So it's not the student, him or herself, who's asking, but it's that concerned friend who's finding the help that their friends need. And so
make sure it's accessible. And probably, too, the San Diego Alliance, their number, too, so kids know if there's an issue there, they can reach out to them, too. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is public comments, and I have one speaker slip for that, Lucille Lynch.
Good evening, Lucille Lynch. I had two boys at LCC. Sorry, Isaac, this will only be worn tonight. and then I have a child at ACP. But I just briefly want to go over about four or five things. Real quickly, I wanted to say thank you, a shout out to LCC Principal Brian Marcus, Jamie Garman, and Jeremy Meadows. They met with a group of parents for about special ed concerns, one of which is making sure that websites at LCC, as well as this is a pervasive concern at all sites, have special ed program resource information readily accessible and current. They were very generous with their time, and we'll be meeting with them again in December. I also wanted to say thank you to the board again for agreeing to assume full rental facility fees. LCC has been able to buy new varsity jackets and floating pool goals and things they haven't been able to purchase for a very long time. So thank you again for assuming that. That's been very valuable to developing that program. I also want to say thank you to Ms. Douglas. We met with her and introduced to her kind of the updates and where we are. She was extremely generous with her time and very open to hearing what we are sharing. And, again, I wanted to thank her for making time for that. And the last thing I wanted to kind of talk about, and I don't know exactly which category this falls in, whether it's special ed or labor negotiations, but one of the things that we've been addressing at the site and also throughout is whether or not ARIES is equally used by all teachers. And one of the things we're told during our IEP meetings for special ed students is we can't make the teachers enter the data in ARIES, and we can't make them have websites, for example, to post homework, syllabus, and so forth. So, and I don't know if that's true or not. I do know that in the master contract, when you look under Section 14, it talks about with the district's rights, and the district does have the right, for example, to make sure that students' rights and other information is protected, and that the district does retain control over making sure certain services and supports are delivered. I know I was part of Encinitas School District's tech committee, where we volunteered our time to train teachers how to create their own websites, and I think if this can be at least entered into negotiations, that all teachers teaching classes have a website that posts as a minimum a syllabus, homework assignments, and testing dates. The reason this is important from a special ed perspective is in 2014, the IDEA was reauthorized, eliminating benchmarks. And for families with special ed, when you have an IEP, you used to have benchmarks throughout the year, so you saw how your child was moving along towards their specialized goals. Those no longer are required. So what's happening, especially in some of our special ed tracks, for example, FLS, which is severely handicapped students, and the TAP program in particular, as well as throughout the district and some other areas, is they don't really enter the ARIES sites because they don't work on, we don't have courses like we do for non-disabled kids. And, I've been talking about how can we use a instructional model for those groups that use a course design versus activity design. But in any event, I don't know if the contract can be amended or if the district can take a different policy to require websites and ARIES entries, but it's a critical benefit that many of our populations are not accessing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I have a question here. Mm-hmm. What is the rule going on that, the ARIES update?
I think maybe Mike, you probably have the best feel for this.
There's no set rule on it in terms of how frequently grades have to be updated. There are certain time periods where grades have to be reported. We have It's about 93% of our teachers use the Aries gradebook, which is visible to parents. Many of those who do not, as Ms. Lynch pointed out, are some special ed teachers, and then our PD teachers tend to not, because it's a little bit less of a traditional model. So that's...
I've not been using Aries for a long time, at least 20 years.
Well, no, not 20 years, but...
A long time.
And then, but many of the teachers, and we do have some core academic teachers, as well as other teachers who don't like the Aries gradebook interface, and so they use some other grading program, and they do have that publicly available as well, because before we moved to Aries, we had about 4 different grading programs, and so we do have some teachers that continue to use those older grading programs, but they do have, say, a web feature so that parents can access them. So
I'd say, year over year, it gets more and more pervasive, and so in terms of this year, the contract's not open for that type of a negotiation, but the most effective way to implement it is to essentially convince and show the benefits of using it. And, as Mike says, with 93% there, if we were to talk about 5 years, it would have been a lot lower percentage of who was actually using
with
the portable.
The
portal
site piece of it, 10 years ago, all of the teachers, we didn't have what's called a learning management system, so teachers were creating their own individual web pages and inserting calendars and things like that. Most of our teachers are now moving over to learning management systems like Blackboard or Google Classroom and things that essentially replace the need for teachers to be website managers. So that's really, I think before too long, none of our teachers will have websites, and they all will have a Google Classroom or Blackboard that students and parents will be able to access that.
So could they just send special ed? Could they use Blackboard?
Some do, but primarily I would say, as Ms. Lynch pointed out, many of our special education teachers do not, and I think that is an area for us to continue.
That is something that we've talked about, as Mr. Miller and I have talked about, as we've looked out in the work that the task force will be looking at, and so that's one of those areas that we've talked about for consideration, of how to integrate technology and also to get more information so parents can follow progress of students. Because we have heard what Mrs. Lynch has said. This isn't the first time she's come and addressed us on this matter. So, it has been taken into consideration. And now as we're taking a more all-encompassing look at our special education programs, that's one of the elements that, that would be up for consideration. And then just the last thing, something I do want to point out, with respect to people with disabilities and websites, is that last year, we did do a check of our websites, both the district and the schools, to make sure that they were accessible for people with disabilities. And so that, when we do have information on there, and of course they get updated all the time, but now we're periodically rechecking to make sure that they're compliant with ADA, because you don't always see that on websites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Next, we have consent agenda approval. So I need a motion to approve consent agenda items 11 through 15.
Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Scott Dyer.
Yes.
Isaac Gelman.
Yes.
Jack Hargis.
Yes.
Sarah Trigg.
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer.
Yes.
Ms. Muir.
Yes.
Mr. Salazar.
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Ms. Herman.
Yes. Thank you. Next item is adoption of date of organizational board meeting 2017.
This is, approval of the date for the
organizational. Approval of the date, yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. I got confused for just a moment.
No problem.
So that would be at the next regular meeting on December 14th. That's it for now. I was jumping ahead to a different item.
That's okay. This one I also need a motion for.
Move approval.
I'll second it.
Very good. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Next item. This is the adoption of the proposed new revised deleted board policies that we saw at our last board meeting. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Miller.
Yes. Good evening. Staff is bringing back for approval a slew of board policies for admin services. We received no feedback, and they are being presented as written from our last board meeting, with the exception of board policy 5141, which is, you may recall, had a typo. We have updated that policy to reflect a complete sentence. So
that was the only thing. Very good. Are there any questions or anything? Okay, I need a motion for that as well.
Move adoption.
Second.
All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, item 18 has been pulled.
Correct.
All right. Number 19, this is, I will let Mr. Miller introduce that. This is the approval of salary allocation placement BP 4541, Appendix A, supervisory salaries, schedule, new supervisory job classification.
Correct. So staff is recommending approval of this position, the information systems support supervisor, which will replace an existing position within admin services. This position will oversee all of our student databases, ensure accurate and timely submission of state and federal reporting, as well as assist with some of our data for the LCAP as well as our high school selection process.
Very good. Do we have any questions on this item? All right. I need another motion, please.
Move approval.
I'll second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 20, I have a public comment on. Wendy Gum.
My name is Wendy Gum. I'm a senior at Torrey Pines High School. I wanted to talk about the single site plans for achievements tonight. These are very complicated documents. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I find when we have complicated issues, simplifying them in simple, more simple forms helps to understand the information. And Principal Colleen said it really well. Sometimes it helps to better understand and view where we have been and help govern to determine where we should be going if we look at information from a simple perspective. So if you look at this chart that I have you passing out, I have some questions about them. So one is, why is Torrey Pines High School percent decreasing in math and English over a three-year period? The second one is it due to adding the seventh period class? Is CCA pulling the high-achieving students to the district or to the school? What is CCA doing differently? For a long time, CCA was on a lottery system, so any student would go, whoever was chosen on the lottery. Is this due to a different student makeup, i.e. Less English learners, special ed, English-only students, et cetera? Are we looking at that data to see if there's a difference? What else could be causing this? How does this correlate to the healthy kids data? The healthy kids survey data from drugs and alcohol, which I know is really important to Ms. Murr, showed that CCA had the lowest number of students drinking and smoking. So that was interesting. Vaping was kind of high, but the alcohol and the marijuana was the lowest in the district at CCA compared to the other schools. The next one is what is the district doing to stop the slide? Is smaller class sizes something we should be looking at? Can that help? Do they need more time in the classroom but less time in the classroom? So should they be looking at 50-minute classes, being in that class every day, as opposed to this weird schedule that we have going on at Torrey Pines where there's no consistency week over week? At CCA, the classes are long, but they go to every class every day for a whole semester. So they see those teachers every day. When will it be important to start addressing the issue? At what point does the decrease become an issue? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Dr. Grove.
So each year under state law, each public school in the state of California has to develop a single plan for student achievement, and it is developed by the school site council, which has representatives from administration, teaching staff, classified staff. At the middle and high school level, it has students on it, and then it also has parents on it. So the team reviews a set of data around student achievement, identifies goals, and then recommends specific action steps and strategies. to address those goals related to student achievement. And so they develop those each year. We've been in a process of sort of shifting our timing on it. And by the end of this year, we will have SPSAs for next year. We will have TU for approval by the end of June so that the schools go into the school year with their SPSA done instead of working on it for the first 2 months of school and losing that time to do the work. And so the SPSAs that are presented to you are the ones that were developed and approved by the school site councils. And so our recommendation to you is that we approve those this evening.
Great. Are there questions for Dr. Grove?
Well, I have a question on the math. What do you think about this? Did you look at this, Mike? Look at this graph here. The graph that just what she was talking about where CCA is the highest, pretty much the leader in the whole.
Mm-hmm. CCA is the leader in the county and one of the leaders in the state. As
but I mean, but we've got the same demographics as the children in the district.
It's not the same demographics. The two schools have different demographics.
Yeah. One of the challenges when you look at year over year at any of the high schools is that it is not a cohort model because this is based off of the 11th grade CASP, and so you do have a different 11th grade class. So it's not like what you see in the middle schools where you've got both 7th and 8th grade, so you can actually track the progress from somewhat from 7th to 8th. So that is the flaw in CASP data, is that it's just a snapshot for that group of 11th graders.
So you're comparing each of these years that you're looking at, you're comparing different groups of students.
Right.
This year will be is the first year where we will have 3 years of high school data. So our 11th graders, we will have their 8th grade scores. So we're not going to have any 9th grade or 10th grade scores, but we'll have 8th grade. Mm-hmm. And let's be able to compare a cohort in 11th grade to see how does that cohort of students do from 8th grade to 11th grade. You would hope to see growth.
Right.
In terms of the percentage of students who were proficient or better. Mm-hmm. And so this is the first year we have the opportunity to do that. Prior to this at the high school level, we didn't have three years worth of CASP data to be able to do the cohort model.
Mm-hmm.
On the old STAR tests, where these kids took the test mm-hmm. every year, we could follow a cohort 7 through 11 and really look at a 5-year cohort model.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think her point was because it's an open school. We have a lot of kids coming from up here, down to there. You know, we've got a cross-section there going in there.
Yeah, I mean, about 98% of the kids at CCA are from the South End. There are very few numbers of kids that come from the North End to go to the South End to either of the two schools. So, I think some of the questions that were asked, could there be potential causal factors there? Absolutely. Are there really clear, easy answers on any of that?
Right. Yeah,
there isn't. No. I mean, this is what we and every other school in this country grapples with all the time, is how do you, work to make sure that you are making steady growth and that all students are learning and progressing.
I'd like to thank you for getting all those prepared and to us as they were coming along. I know Superintendent Dill started sending them out to the board so we could read them not all at once last Friday, so I appreciate that. And I'm very happy to hear that we will, again, have that information in June so that it helps the schools and helps all of us look at the preparation.
Yeah. Historically, we used to do it that way. We went through a period where, we essentially lost, all the, there used to be money tied to these where the school got school improvement program money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the SPSA was really around how are you spending your SIP funds in order to achieve improved achievement. When all the money went away and the state removed some of the accountability for SIPSA and they changed the template, so as Ms. Gunn mentioned, it's a complex document. It's a state-mandated template that we complete, and so
this is the simplified
version. It's very impressive year in and year out. The work that goes into it by the site councils and all the people that are on the team They really put together quite a document for each
We've
of the schools.
We've been really working to try and coordinate because, you know, at the high school level, you have your WASC action plan, your intercept site, you have, you know, all these different competing.
It's the LCAP as well.
LCAP. So we're really trying to coordinate so that this document is the kind of coordination of all of those efforts in one, you know, has the name
single plan.
Right.
Well, and I would also like to kind of second the thank you to the campuses that were able to get theirs in before the drop dead date so that we could have a little more time. That was very helpful.
So it might be the July meeting where we bring this forward, but the work would, we talked about doing that, the work would get done in June, and we're thinking the July meeting might be a good time to bring those forward. But the good thing is that they will be ready for implementation for the following school year, rather than a whole new group of people coming in on the school site council who are looking at last year's work.
Right. You have turnover about 50% on your site council every year, is the way the terms work. And, you know, the only, you know, one thing that will be required is, you know, we develop a SIPSA in kind of the spring for the following year, but we're developing that without having the results of the CAS tests that the kids will take in this May to use for that, because we won't get those until July or so. So we will create it based upon prior year CAS scores, and as well as all the other data we look at. Approve a plan, and then the school site, when they get updated CASP data, they will, the new site council will review that and determine whether any adjustments need to be made in the plans at that point.
Very good.
Good.
All right. Thanks. Well, thank you. If there are any questions, bless you.
Thank you.
I need a motion to approve the single plans for student achievement.
Move approval.
A second.
Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 21, this is basically an item that Mr. Dillon and I am bringing forward, the approval of the agreement for the CSBA Board Governance and Organizational Effectiveness Workshop. And we discussed this and approved this workshop at the last meeting, but now we need to approve the contract that CSBA has offered to us. Are there any questions on this?
No.
I do believe we have a date. Is that correct? February 21st, yes. 9 to 3. Thank you for setting that up, Ms. Schultz. All right, I need a motion then.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. Thank you. Next are our information items. Mr. Dill, starting with the proposed board meeting schedule for 2018.
Yeah, so another thing Ms. Schultz has done is to pull all of the board members on potential board meetings for the calendar year of 2018. I think we've got everybody settled on this. We had to move around a few dates. But please do take a look at these dates because they will be coming back at your organizational meeting for approval for the 2018 calendar year.
Very good.
I believe, did I see these proposed dates are now on calendar so we can,
And you've sent us notifications.
It shows on the calendar. I can see it.
I saw it. Joe already put the 21st on.
Yes. So we've got a long time between the June and July meetings. Just to accommodate some vacations, but not so far.
And we always have two meetings in June. So.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Next, we have the CSBA Delegate Assembly nominations, also information item.
This is really your the board's item every year to plan on nominating candidates for the CSBA Delegate Assembly. And so that would be brought back next month. So this is for your consideration now. I don't know if the board wants to entertain any discussion at this time.
I think... unless Mrs. Hergesheimer, who is our delegate.
I can do some checking around and see who we know is coming back or not, whether that means there's any option. But, I mean, if you know someone in our county, you know, that you think should be encouraged, let me know.
Okay.
Because I know there's also times when we can appoint. And so to know who might be, but they do look to spread it around and what size the districts are. So right now... I'm not aware of any of our immediate.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to getting your input next meeting then. Next, Dr. Grove, we have Uniform Complaint Quarterly Report, first quarter.
So, do you heard me say many times, we, under state law, we do a quarterly report regarding any uniform complaints we've received related specifically to the Williams Act, which is instructional materials, facilities, things like that. And for this quarter, we have zero complaints to.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. Next, Mrs. Douglas, do we have a business services update?
So I've said over the last couple of meetings that we have been having some best practices workshops around donations and fundraising, and so we had two of them scheduled just this last week. We had several parents. We probably had somewhere to the tune of about 30 or so in the morning session.
Good.
And probably another 10 in the afternoon session. Mm-hmm. And so it's been very well received. We're getting the information out there. We plan on scheduling another one for the evening because they're all, you know, working parents.
Right.
So we want to try and have another one in the evening. We'll do that before the holidays, but it's been very well received.
We're going to put that on the website.
Yes.
That would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, actually, that was, Ms. Douglas introduced that at the Monday meeting, said after this meeting, we will get it on the website.
Okay.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Dr. Grove, do you have anything else? No? Okay. And Mr. Miller.
All right. So in addition to our work on the Special Education Task Force, as well as gearing up for the spring testing season, believe it or not, we're already in training for that. As Mr. Kling said tonight, we continue our work around student wellness within admin services. We continue to support sites, and we continue to work on updating our website around drug and alcohol awareness, suicide prevention, as well as bullying prevention. In the passage of our suicide prevention board policy earlier this year, our staff has been working very diligently training staff with regards to our protocol, assisting students who are at risk of suicide, as well as on resources for prevention. Our sites have also held specific trainings around suicide prevention. In addition to board policy 5131.2 around bullying, it's now posted on our website, which outlines procedures around student bullying, which includes prevention, intervention, reporting, filing complaints, investigating, resolution of complaints, and finally resolution of complaints. And our district website also now includes numerous resources around drug and alcohol prevention. And finally, staff is working to update signages around our school sites around prohibited tobacco use.
Great. Thank you very much.
Question for Mr. Miller.
Okay.
You know, when we're talking about the special ed, do they have a counselor like we have for the gen ed population?
All students have a counselor. So all students are assigned a counselor, yes.
Have a counselor. Is that
Absolutely.
Specifically for special ed, or they use the same counselors?
They use the same counselor.
Counselors, okay, and they know that, and they can go to them?
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. Same alpha breakdown or grade level, depending on how they do it.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Great. All right. Thank you very much. Does the board have any future agenda items?
I have one more on the topic of discussion, but we will be sending out from CSBA San Diego the nominating for honoring our own. I'm trying to get that letter out sooner now that I get to be in charge of that.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll send it out in November for the first time with some reminders to do in February.
Okay.
But rather than having 2 weeks to try and think of someone, get something documented and sent
Thank
off.
Thank you. So yes, I really would like to nominate.
Yeah, me too.
All classified, community leaders, all sorts of
wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Thank you for that reminder.
Sure. Yes. All right. Anything else?
We have missed that many years.
Okay, meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.